This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ألف يقولوا آمنا أحسب الناس أن يتركوا أن يقولوا آمنا وهم لا يفتنون ولقد فتنا الذين من قبلهم فَلَيَعْلَمَنَّ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ صَدَقُوا وَلَيَعْلَمَنَّ الْكَاذِبِينَ أَمْ حَسِبَ الَّذِينَ يَعْمَلُونَ السَّيِّئَاتِ أَنْ يَسْبِقُونَا سَاءَ مَا يَحْكُمُونَ مَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُو لقاء الله فإن أجل الله لآت وهو السميع العليم ومن جاهد فإنما يجاهد لنفسه إن الله لغني عن العالمين إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونتوب إليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم All praise are for Allah. We praise Him. We thank Him. We ask Him for His help and we ask Him for His forgiveness. We seek refuge with Allah Ta'ala from the evil of ourselves and the evil of our actions. Whoever is guided by Allah, then no one can misguide them. And whoever is misguided, then no one can guide them except for Allah Ta'ala. I bear witness that there is no God worthy of worship except Allah. And I bear witness that Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is His final messenger. Amma ba'd. First of all, I just want to say to everyone, Assalamu Alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome to all of you, inshallah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, gather us together, like just as He's gathered us here today, subhanAllah, may He gather us together in the next life, subhanAllah. May we all find each other, inshallah, in the next life, and may none of us stray off that straight path so that we don't find each other in the next life, inshallah. May Allah give us through that, inshallah. So, subhanAllah, sisters, amazingly, and alhamdulillah, I have believed in La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah now for about 28 years, subhanAllah. I first read the Quran when I was almost 16. But subhanAllah, sisters, to say in this journey that I've been upon, what I can say about it is that I have seen, subhanAllah, so many people over this time enter Islam, walhamdulillah, and I cannot believe the changes in the community, like where the community has come from and where it is today is just, it is amazing to barakAllah to have witnessed that because like all those years ago, you know, you could hardly, it was like spot the Muslim really. So that's the happy side, you know, subhanAllah, that to barakAllah how Islam has grown and the iltizam, you know, the being steadfast, like you can see it visually, like the amount of sisters who you can see, mashallah, the strength of the iman is growing, mashallah, may Allah protect us all. But in saying that, you know, the sad part of the other side of the story is that sadly, you know, over those years, you know, subhanAllah, we have witnessed from time to time, you know, sisters leave Islam. And, you know, also, you know, subhanAllah, we've also witnessed, you know, people go very far backwards, you could say. And the way I look at it, the way I think about it, it's like, you know, you're walking along this long path. This long path towards the Akhirah, and subhanAllah, as you're going upon this path, like you start off this path with certain sisters, certain faces that you know and love, but subhanAllah, as you're going along this path, sadly sometimes you lose some people along the way, but you know, and happily as well, you do get others, new faces come along as well. So you just don't know who you're gonna, you don't know who's gonna be left on that path when you finally get there. SubhanAllah, may Allah keep us all steadfast upon the path of Allah. So this is why it is really important for us, you know, to speak about how to remain firm upon this straight path and not take it for granted, because no one is safe. Like we have to, no one is safe. No matter how much knowledge you gain, no matter how much ibadah, you know, subhanAllah, we have to always be, you know, scared of straying off the straight path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So all you can do basically is, you know, keep that goal in your mind, keep your focus on Allah in the next life, and keep walking in your direction despite whatever comes your way. So what I want to talk about today basically obviously is, you know, how to stay inshallah steadfast upon the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to keep strong, because one of the main things that so many people, you know, so many sisters ask me about, or they, you know, complain about, is having a weak iman, having problems with waswasa, you know, having problems with like feeling doubts in their heart, not feeling motivated towards their religion, stuff like that, subhanAllah. So this is why I wanted to share with you some of I can't share with you everything, obviously there's so many different things, but I want to share with you some of the main things that has helped me. May Allah subhanahu help us, you know, continue to help me inshallah. So you know, subhanAllah, like we want to ask that question, you know, why is it, you know, may Allah keep us steadfast inshallah, why is it that some people are able to remain, you know, steadfast and, you know, straight upon the path, whereas others, you know, subhanAllah, they have that experience of being, you know, shaky and having those doubts. So it's very important we speak about these points and confront them and know what is the difference inshallah. So before we get into that, we first of all should speak about, you know, to realize that from the very beginning Allah Ta'ala is gonna test us all the way through to see who and what do we love more. Alright, all the way through your life as a Muslimah, Allah Ta'ala is going to test us to see, you know, who and what we love more and what is our priorities in this life. You know, is it Allah? Is Allah your number one goal? Is Allah the one, your number one focus, your number one priority in your life? Or is it the other things in your life? And this is what Allah tells us in this surah I read in the beginning, Surah Al-Ankabut. If you want to read it when you go home, Surah Al-Ankabut, the first few verses of Surah Al-Ankabut, where Allah Ta'ala says, أَحَسِبَ النَّاسُ أَن يُتْرَكُوا أَن يَقُولُوا آمَنَّا وَهُمْ لَا يُفْتَنُونَ. Like, does man think that he will be left just to say, I believe, and then he won't be tested? And then Allah tells us, وَلَقَدْ فَتَنَّ الَّذِينَ مِن قَبَلِهِمْ, that Allah tells us that, you know, that verily those who came before you were tested. فَلَيَعْلَمَنَّ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ صَدَقُوا. Allah will know who are the sincere ones, and He'll know who are, may Allah protect us, you know, the insincere ones. So this is how Allah, you know, these tests are for a purpose. They're to show who are the, you know, the true, you know, the sincere believers upon the path of Allah. May Allah help us all to fulfill that sincerity, inshallah. So when you first embrace Islam, if you come back to Islam, whether you embrace Islam or you come back to Islam, you know, we have to realize Allah is going to continually test you to see who do you love more. You know, in the beginning, it's, you know, is it that haram relationship you're involved with? Do you love that more than Allah? Is it that workplace, that haram workplace environment you're in? Do you love that more than Allah? You know, is it that bad friend who's always misguiding you? Is that who you love more than Allah? So Allah's gonna, you know, He's gonna test you to see, subhanAllah, what is your priorities and what is your true priority in this life? And we need to realize that, subhanAllah, Allah Ta'ala, He's gonna test us to see, you know, is it that person that you love more, or that thing that you love more, that's taking you to the haram? Or is what you love most Allah Al-Wahid Al-Qahhar? Allah, from His beautiful names and attributes, He is the one, the irresistible. And that's how He should be to us, sisters. He should be Al-Qahhar, the most irresistible to us, that we put Him as the number one priority in our lives. May Allah help us always to fulfill that, inshaAllah. So then, you know, after you leave those things initially for the sake of Allah in your first, in your journey, you know, as a Muslimah, then Allah's going to test you repeatedly over and over again in your life. Again, to see the level of your sincerity, the level of your ikhlas, you know, in your faith. And one of the most important things we need to know as a Muslimah, like one of the best ways to be able to cope with these trials and with these tests that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is gonna come in our path, is that basically we need to realize the reality of this life from the very beginning. To realize the reality of this life, that this dunya, you know, this dunya is the place of, you know, problems and trials. That's what this dunya is. If we can accept that from the very beginning, then we won't be so surprised when, you know, those obstacles come in our path. When those trials come to us, we won't be so surprised when it comes to us. So that's why, subhanAllah, we should not take for granted. You know, if we have health today, sisters, may Allah keep us all healthy. But if we have health today, we should not take it for granted that we're going to have health tomorrow. And we shouldn't be surprised if we get sick tomorrow, subhanAllah. It's part of the sunnah of Allah in His khalqi, in His creation, that He's, you know, subhanAllah, you know, made it that He's going to take this dunya is a place of trials and tribulations. So if we have, you know, if we're living in a time of ease and comfort and happiness, we also should not be surprised if tomorrow there comes a time where we're living in hardship and may Allah protect us, sadness. If sadness comes our way, we shouldn't be surprised, subhanAllah, because this is the hayat ad-dunya. This is the life of this world. So the more, you know, that you're prepared, you know, and accept that that's what this life is about, the more easily, inshallah, it's going to be for you to be patient through those trials, inshallah, when they cross your path. May Allah help us all, because it's not easy. No one's saying it's easy. No one, yani, subhanAllah, but this is all part of the test. If we look at the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, sisters, think about his life just for a moment. Look at his life, sisters. I mean, he had, you know, subhanAllah, he had wives who died, right? He buried his own wives. He buried children. Okay, so he had a lot of grief in his life. You know, subhanAllah, his people turned against him, as we know. He got tired his whole life as a messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, bi abi wa ummi ya Rasulullah. His whole life, he got tired for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He didn't take a rest from the moment, you know, that he was commanded to be a messenger of Allah, that he didn't, you know, he didn't take a rest. His whole life is spent getting tired for the sake of Allah. And he, you know, getting wounded, even he got wounded, you know, subhanAllah. Did any of us even for one day get wounded for the sake of Allah? Like, look at what he went through. Look at the trials he went through. What we've gone through so far, subhanAllah, none of us could say that we've gone through the trials to the level that the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, went through. You know, even has any of us ever, could any of us honestly say we've ever experienced even one day of starvation? The Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, even went through starvation. There were days where, subhanAllah, he used to have to tie a rock onto their stomach to stop the pains of hunger. That was the only way to stop yourself from feeling hungry, to tie a rock tightly to your stomach so you don't feel the pains of hunger, subhanAllah. So what have we gone through in comparison to the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and yet he is ahsan al-khalq, like he is the best of creation, the most loved to Allah. So who are we in comparison to the Messenger of Allah? So how can we be surprised if this is how Allah tested his Messenger? And to the level that, subhanAllah, the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he told us that, you know, when he would get sick, that the pain he would feel when he's sick is like the equal to the pain of two men would feel. Like he gets double the amount of pain when he's sick, subhanAllah, the double amount of suffering when he's sick. So if this is the level that he would experience, then how can we be surprised when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, has written for us certain tests and trials? May Allah keep us, you know, firm and make it easy for us to accept those trials when they come our way. So subhanAllah, sisters, whether it's, you know, a bad husband, whether it's a death of someone you love, money problems, health problems, whether it's people turning against you in the community, you know, fitna that you have to face from the community, you know, or even just being feeling alone in practicing your deen, like you've got your whole family turning against you, because you've chosen this path of truth. SubhanAllah, all of those are tests and trials, but we have to be prepared for them, because like Allah says, you know, حَسِبَ النَّاسُ أَن يُتْرَكُوا أَن يَقُولُوا آمَنَّا وَهُمْ لَا يُفْتَنُونَ. Do people think they'll be, you know, left to believe and not be tested? This is all part of what Allah has planned for us, and He's already written it for us 50,000 years before the creation of the heavens and the earth. So we shouldn't, you know, subhanAllah, so this is all test to see what do we love most. You know, what is our priority in this life? You know, is your priority the life of this world and the things of this dunya, or is what you love the most Allah and the akhirah? Is that, you know, that's what our focus should always be, our priority. Whenever we're trying to choose between two things, always remember that Allah is testing you. When you have a choice in life, when you're confronted with a choice in life, always remember that Allah is testing you to see what you're gonna choose and what is your priority. And inshallah, we have to always try to fulfill that test by choosing always put Allah and the akhirah over all else, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. And know that, you know, always remember also that whatever hardship you face, whatever test you go through, that nothing is wasted with Allah. Nothing is wasted with Allah. So always remember that. Always comfort yourself by that. Whatever you're going through, like subhanAllah, Allah Ta'ala might have chosen to test you with this thing because He knew that you couldn't reach that level in Jannah by your ibadah alone. Some people might reach a certain level in Jannah through their ibadah, through their worship of Allah, while others, Allah knew that they couldn't reach the level He wanted for them. So from His love and rahmah to them, He gave them a particular test so they would be able to reach that level in Jannah that He wants for them, subhanahu wa ta'ala. So keep that in your mind, dear sisters. And always remember the dua in Surah Yusuf, the ayah in Surah Yusuf, there's an ayah in Surah Yusuf which I always try to hold on to whenever I'm going through a test, where Allah Ta'ala says, إِنَّهُ مَن يَتَّقِي وَيَصْبِرْ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُضِيعُ أَجْرَ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. That verily, whoever fears Allah, whoever fears Allah and is patient and keeps himself patient upon the, you know, the straight path of Allah's commands and staying away from His muharramat, His prohibitions, فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُضِيعُ أَجْرَ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. Allah Ta'ala never waits the reward of the muhsineen, those who do good. So either you get the reward by being patient in your patient upon following Allah's commands and stay away from His muharramat, or you get your patience, you get your reward from being patient on, you know, through His qada'i wal qadar, whatever Allah has predestined and you know, written for you, subhanAllah, from trials and tribulations. Now, the thing we have to understand too, sisters, is that when you're being tested, when you're going to go through these tests, yes, there's going to be times where you might get depression. You might get a bit of anxiety. You know, you might feel like very low in your iman. Now, you have to realize when you're going through those times where you feel weak, where you feel vulnerable, know that the shaitan is going to try to get to you through that. Like, the shaitan will always try to get to you through your weaknesses. So when your levels of, you know, when your level of iman is down, when your guard is down, because your level of iman is down, realize that you are obviously now going to be susceptible to shaitan trying to, you know, whisper in your heart and pull you further down. Because what does shaitan ultimately want? He wants us all to enter the hellfire with him, wa'udhu billah. So you have to be aware of that. When you're aware of that, that's a very important point, that when you're feeling depressed, you're feeling down, you're feeling like you're failing, remember shaitan will be there to try to pull you further and further down. If you're aware of his whispers, then he can't affect you. But if you're not aware and you start thinking it's myself, I'm hopeless, I'm going to the hellfire, there's no point, that's where, you know, that's where the shaitan is winning. You understand? So don't, you know, let that tabi'u khutuwat al shaitan. Like, don't follow the footsteps of the shaitan. Okay, so there's so many things that can help us to stay steadfast. And what I'm going to do, inshallah, today is basically mention to you, like, the main ones that I feel like they help me, inshallah, the most, inshallah, as you know, through my journey. And may Allah help us all to be, you know, reach the end of our journey safely and soundly, bi-idhnillah. So from the first of things, the most important thing which I feel is the main thing that makes the difference between the person who stays steadfast upon the path and the one who finds themselves shaky in the deen. Alright, this is the main difference. Wallahu alam. is that the one who remains steadfast is able to keep themselves firm on the straight path, sisters, is that they see the big picture of this life. Okay, they see the big picture of this life, and they know the true reality of this life, and they keep it fixed in front of their eyes. They keep that focus on what is the true reality of this life, and they keep it fixed in front of their eyes, and they don't lose sight of the big picture. That, you know, that this life is one chance. This life is one chance. We have to get that in our minds from the very beginning. This life is one chance. This life is a test. Allah Ta'ala is testing us. And this test is one. You only get one chance. If you stuff up this chance, if you fail this chance, you don't get another chance. It's not like any other test you're going to go through in life. Like, you might have failed your university degree. You might have failed your HSC. You might have failed Year 10. Whatever you failed in life, you can always go back and do that again. There's always a chance to do something about it. Right? But when it comes to this test, sisters, when it comes to this test, realize it's one chance only. So you have to ask yourself, from the very beginning, ask yourself, since there's only one chance, since there's only this test is only one chance you get at it, wouldn't you want to do your best? Like, when you meet with Allah, ask yourself, how do you want to be when you meet with Allah? Ask yourself that question. Every single person should have an idea in their head of what is the state they would wish to be in when they meet with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when you know what that state is, write it down for yourself. Write it down. What is your ideal state to be in when you meet with Allah? When you know what that ideal state is and you've written it down, that is your goal. That is your goal you should be always working to. Keep it always in your mind that that is your ultimate goal. And every single day of your life, sisters, you're taking small steps to achieve that goal. Every single day. You don't let a day go by except that you're slowly, slowly working towards your goal. And you know what, sisters? Because Allah is so kareem, He's so kareem, that even if you didn't reach your goal in the very end, you didn't reach that perfect state, but you were heading, you know, you tried your very best to reach that goal, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, Allah writes it for you exactly as if you made it. That's from the generosity of Allah. That's why it's always good in Islam to have the really sincere intention. Like the Messenger of Allah told us that someone could die in their bed, but because they had the sincerity, you know, to die for the sake of Allah, for example, in his path, that subhanAllah, Allah writes it, you know, as if they were, you know, as if they were shaheed, subhanAllah. For example, that's an example of one of the hadith that mentions what I'm saying. So subhanAllah, we have to remember that, you know, no matter what test comes in our way, no matter what trials comes in our way, never lose sight of this goal. That Allah, we're going to be raised in front of Allah. Allah's going to question us about everything we did. So how do you want to be at that stage? You know, what is the state that you want to die? You know, what is the state that you want to die in when you meet with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And always remember, sisters, that what have you gained if you lose Allah? No matter what you get out of this dunya, what have you gained? Even if you get to be really rich, really powerful, really famous, but what would be the use of that if you've lost Allah in your life? And what have you lost as long as you have Allah? Even if you have to give up everything because everyone's turning against you in your life, but as long as you have Allah, then what have you truly lost? So this is something we should always keep in our minds as well, subhanAllah. And Allah Ta'ala, He tells us, وَمَن يُؤْمِن بِاللَّهِ يَهْدِي قَلْبَهِ. Whoever believes in Allah, like whoever makes himself firm in their belief and focuses their heart towards Allah, Allah says, يَهْدِي قَلْبَهِ. Allah guides their heart. So it's about you, first of all. If you're not like achieving what you want so far, it's because you need to look at your heart and realize that you haven't really purified your intentions for the sake of Allah. If you truly purify your intentions for the sake of Allah and truly focus your heart towards Allah and what your goal is, Allah tells us, يَهْدِي قَلْبَهِ. He will guide your heart and He will guide you towards achieving your goal, بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى. You know, subhanAllah, as far away as it may seem today. As far away as it may seem today. Okay, so that's the first thing. To make our heart focused on Allah and the next life, and don't lose that focus ever. That's your priority, inshaAllah. Then after that, we need to, the next step is then to take the tools that Allah has given us to be able to achieve this goal. To use those tools. Allah has given us so many tools, so many, you know, facilities or ways and things we can use to help us to achieve this goal. And that's why we, and so in order to achieve our goal, these tools Allah has given us, we need to make these things a priority in our life. A priority. Like, we never let go of these things. We always hold fast to them. As long as I'm holding fast to these tools I'm going to tell you about, then inshallah, we will reach our goal, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. So number one, from the first of these, you know, priorities or these tools that we have to hold on to, it has to be the prayer. It has to be the prayer. And I'm talking number one, the fard prayer. Okay, the number one thing that we have to work on and establish from the very beginning are the prayers. We have to realize, sisters, that a person will never be close to Allah as long as their prayers are not in order. You will never be truly close to Allah until and unless your prayers are in order. Because why? Because, sisters, the prayers are the umud ad-deen. Like, they are umud. Like, they are the foundation of a person's Islam. The foundation of a person's religion. Without that, your whole house, you know, your whole building of Islam is just a shaky building on a shaky foundation. So if you want your foundation Islam to be strong, you have to work on the prayer and get the prayers in order. So, like, concentrate, try your best, always make it priority in your day, okay, to put your life around your prayers. Pray your prayers as much as you can in the beginning. Like, we're talking about, like, the first half an hour maximum is 1 hour. And only on a very strange, you know, very strange circumstances should we delay our prayer for longer than that, like towards the end of the times. So your habit should not be to pray the prayers at the end of the time, because let me tell you, whoever prays their prayers continually towards the end of the time, they are the ones who most commonly fall into praying, like missing their prayers. Okay, so prayers should be the priority. And for Fajr prayer, for example, like, you make sure you wake up, and you shouldn't be missing it once a week. That's too much. If you miss Fajr prayer once a week, that's too much, sisters. The maximum, like, really to be stable, and we're talking about stability here, your aim should be, like, maximum maybe once or twice a year that you sleep in. And it's just by an accident that somehow, like, the alarm didn't go off and you just, you understand? So this is what you should be aiming towards. And then on top of that, of course, taking care of your prayers. Because how do you expect the prayer to affect your heart if you're just rushing in the prayer, not concentrating at all, not having khushu', not having submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in your prayer? You can't expect for that prayer to affect you, right? So we have to realize, sisters, that your prayer, sisters, like the word salah is related to the word in Arabic, silah. And silah means connection. So if your connection is not strong with Allah, then subhanAllah, how can you expect to be close to Allah? If your connection with Allah, if your silah, your lifeline, if your connection is not strong with Allah, then how can you expect to be close to Allah? How can you expect to feel strong in your iman if your connection to Allah is weak? And that's why, sisters, as well, I just want to say something here too, which is very important, is that no matter how dark life becomes, like, no matter, subhanAllah, you know, how hard things become and how dark life might become for you through problems or trials that you're going through, never let go of this connection. Think about it as if, imagine you're in a storm in an ocean, for example, and the darkness of, you know, the waves are crashing over you of fitna and trials and tribulations. But if someone was holding out a lifeline to you, if someone was holding out a rope to you, you wouldn't let go of that rope, would you? You'd never let go, because you know that letting go of that rope, you're going to drown. It's the same thing with our prayers. When we're going through trials and tribulations, realize that is the time you need those prayers more than ever. So no matter how hard it is, just hold on. Hold on to that prayer and don't let go, because if you let go of that, then, subhanAllah, we don't know how far we could drown, and we don't know if we can get back to the rope, subhanAllah. So this is something to keep in mind. May Allah keep us always firm, inshallah. Allah Ta'ala, He tells us in Surah Baqarah, He says, وَاسْتَعِينُوا بِالصَّبْرِ وَالصَّلَاةِ وَإِنَّهَا لَكَبِيرَةٌ إِلَّا عَلَى الْخَاشِعِينَ. Allah Ta'ala tells us to seek help. Like, how can we help ourselves to stay strong? Allah says, وَاسْتَعِينُوا بالصبر والصلاة. Seek help through being patient and through your prayer. وَإِنَّهَا لَكَبِيرَةٌ إِلَّا عَلَى الْخَاشِعِينَ. That it is difficult except for those who fear Allah. So this is the two keys we have to remember. That first of all, the prayer, holding fast to the prayer, and then الصبر, keeping ourselves patient. You know, what does it mean? Keeping yourself patient is to keep oneself patient upon what Allah Ta'ala and His Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has commanded, and keeping oneself patient away from what they have forbidden. You know, so basically, and not to give up, not to give up. You know, don't give in to your nafs, don't give in to yourself, because Allah tells us, in, for example, in Surah Yusuf, He says, "Inna nafsa la ammaratun bisu." That the nafs, it pushes always. Like the nafs always makes you lazy, sisters. The nafs, if you just go to yourself, like yourself, if you leave it to you, just to yourself, to follow your own desires and your own lusts and whims, your own opinions. Your nafs always takes you, subhanAllah, to be lazy and to not work hard and not, you know, not push yourself. It always leads you to sins. If you just let it go, it will take you to sins. So you have to go against your nafs. You have to work against your nafs. You have to know the reality of the nafs. That it's about, like, that's what the whole of Islam is about, training the nafs. What do you think fasting is about? Training the nafs. Prayer, it's about training the nafs. Sadaqah, it's about training the nafs. Hajj, all the things in Islam is about training the nafs. You don't give in to your nafs, you train your nafs. And when you train your nafs, you get a hold on your nafs. This is how, yani, you stay steadfast. And so, subhanAllah, sisters, what I say is, like, even if you don't feel like doing something, even if you get so low in your iman, and things get so hard for you, and you don't even feel like praying anymore, right? Maybe you get to the point where you just don't even feel like praying anymore. You don't feel like wearing hijab. Don't give into that. Don't give into that. The trick here is not to give into it. Alright? What it is what you should do in such a situation is continue to strive and push yourself forward. Do not give into the nafs. Alright? Push yourself forward and you will overcome that stage. Bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, Allah will not let you go astray as long as you are sincere in your heart and you really want that. He will not let you go astray. And Allah, the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, He tells us, وَمَنْ يَصْبِرْ يُصَبِّرَهُ اللَّهُ. Whoever makes himself patient, Allah will make them patient. That is one of the most important keys to patience. If you want, if you want to be patient, if you want to be patient with anything, whether it's ibadah, being patient upon ibadah, whether it's being patient upon trials, know that you can be patient. You have it in you to be patient. Because Allah says, لَا يُكَلِّفُ اللَّهُ نَفْسًا إِلَّا وُسْعَهَا. Allah does not test a person more than they can bear. So know that if Allah gave you this test, you have something in yourself that you don't know about. And you can be patient. But the Messenger of Allah tells us that you have to first make yourself patient. Make yourself patient and you'll be surprised how, subhanAllah, Allah will make you patient in a way that you could never have imagined that you could have even reached such a level of patience. SubhanAllah, like, I know one particular sister, just, I wasn't going to try to, because I want to finish everything I was say, but, like, I know one particular sister, subhanAllah, Allah tested her with a very, very big test. She was a very, very, very active sister. You know, she loves working, she loves, you know, being hard working and everything. And then, subhanAllah, Allah tested with her with a test that she cannot move her whole body. And do you know what kind of test that is for someone who's very young in age? And who, subhanAllah, loves being very active and doing everything and is a perfectionist in their nature and stuff like that, is a very big test, wallahi, sisters. It was hard. I've seen her go through the stages, subhanAllah, I've seen her go through the stages. But you know now, to barakallah, sisters, she has reached a level, wala uzaki alallahi ahad, she has reached a level of rida, where she is happy. She's actually reached a level where she is completely happy and so thankful to Allah that He's given her this test. SubhanAllah, so it shows you that if you truly make yourself patient, Allah will make you patient, and subhanAllah, He will give you a patience that you never thought you were capable of. Bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. So that's the first thing. The second thing I want to talk about now is from the things that I think is a priority. Everyone has to make this his priority if you want to stay steadfast, and that is seeking knowledge. Seeking knowledge should be a priority. If you want to stay steadfast. Imam al-Shafi'i rahimahullah, He said that after fulfilling the five things, like the obligations, he said there was nothing that brought me closer to Allah than seeking knowledge. You know, seeking knowledge, you know why? Because subhanAllah, you come to know Allah more. Like, you study Aqidah, you study Tawheed, you study al-Asma'i wa Sifat, you study, you know, like the names and attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you get to know who is Allah. You get to know His beautiful names, how He's Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim, how He's, you know, subhanAllah, Al-Qahhar, the most irresistible, subhanAllah. So you get to know Him in this way, and that's why, you know, Allah says, إِنَّمَا يَخْشَ اللَّهَ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ الْعُلَمَاءِ. That those who fear Allah the most are those from who have knowledge. So subhanAllah, if we want to be close to Allah, the most important ways that we have to take is seeking the path of knowledge. And realize, subhanAllah, sisters, that, you know, knowledge is from the greatest weapons against the shaitan. Like I said before, what did I say earlier? That the shaitan is always going to try to get to you through your weaknesses. Whether it's, you know, you're feeling down in your iman, or if you're ignorant, if you don't have much knowledge, it's so easy for shaitan to come to you, whether in the form of waswasa, or even people of deviation. Alright, so whether it's waswasa, that he whispers to you and makes you feel doubts in your heart about yourself, about your path, that, you know, about the right, about the you know, the your correct path, about the true path, whether it's those kind of doubts, or whether it's people, subhanAllah, who come along the way and try to deviate you from the straight path. So if you're, basically, you know, if you haven't, if you haven't taken this path of knowledge, sisters, may Allah protect us, then subhanAllah, it is so easy for you, it's so easy, like you're like a sitting target, you could say. You're like a sitting target for anyone to come and fill your head with anything. You know, and there was an incident in which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he once drew a line in the sand. Like, he drew a line and he said, this is the straight path. And then he drew lines coming off that straight path, and he said, and these lines going to the side, they are the paths of, you know, deviation and misguidance. And on every one of these paths, there is a shaitan calling to the hellfire, may Allah protect us. Now, I can honestly say, and I ask Allah to give me thabat, and all of you, inshallah, I can honestly say, in my life, like as my life as a Muslimah, over, like I said, alhamdulillah, 28 years now since I've believed, I can honestly say to you, I have actually seen this with my own eyes, which is a very scary thing to witness, where you're going along, and some weird sect comes along, from time to time there's like trials in the community, like a weird sect comes along, a weird group comes along, and they start, you know, infiltrating people and sort of filling their heads with strange things, like, you know, like, and because the people didn't have enough knowledge, they're very, like, to say sorry, but like gullible, and they easily fall into the traps of those shayateen, may Allah protect us. And sadly, not everyone gets themselves back on the path. So it's so important for us to seek knowledge, inshallah. And also we have to know too, one thing which is important to say here too, is that, like as Ali radiallahu anhu said, that the truth is not known by its men, but rather the men are known by the truth. So what does that mean? It means that it doesn't matter, like, you know, you might see someone that they're very famous, they have so many followers, they're so famous and all this, but that does not mean necessarily that that person is upon the truth. So how to know the truth is not by how popular someone is or something like that, or fame or money or whatever it is. No, it's going back to the Quran and Sunnah and studying that, and then you can recognize. Like, I remember, I just want to share something to you that just came to my mind right now, but when I first embraced Islam, I went through that same problem myself. You know, I had this group telling me that they're the right ones, and this group telling me they're the right ones. I went through all that too. Okay? And I traversed a path. Like, I didn't start off, you know, I started off in some weird places. Okay, let's just say that. But I got so sick of it in the end, I thought, you know what I'm going to do right now? I'm just going to go sit down and I'm going to read Sahih al-Bukhari. This is exactly what I did. Basically, I read the whole volumes of Sahih al-Bukhari. And I said, there has to be someone out there who's calling to what's in Sahih al-Bukhari. Because I know there has to be someone on the truth. It can't be to the level where there's no one on the truth. And alhamdulillah, and I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us tabat. You know, this is how, you know, inshallah, I found the true path. Even if, you know, you might not see good examples from some people on that path, it doesn't mean it's not the true path. You know, what you follow is the path. Like, just when you follow Islam, You didn't choose Islam because of the people. Like, to be honest, sorry to say, how I became Muslim was not through beautiful examples. Let me just tell you right now. I had very, you know, alhamdulillah, but like I'm just saying, I didn't see good examples of Muslims. That wasn't what made me become Muslim. You know, it was the religion that made me become Muslim. When I read about the religion, that's what made me become Muslim, okay? And the same thing, like if you don't see people doing wrong things on that path, doesn't mean that path is yani wrong. Yani, you have to see, you follow the path, not the people. That's what I'm trying to say. You follow the path, not the people. And the way to know the path is by studying the Quran and studying the authentic sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That's how you'll know the path, inshallah. And staying with those scholars and righteous, you know, the righteous, you know, scholars who implement that path, they call to that path, and they implement it and they uphold it. That's how you know who's upon the straight path, inshallah. So that's the first thing about knowledge. And then besides that, the more knowledge you seek, sisters, knowledge, if you've got knowledge, the good, you know, one of the benefits of it, sisters, is that you can recognize if you're suffering from a disease. You know that if you're, wait a second, my man's going down. You can feel it, and you can recognize the signs of what is weak iman, for example. And when you recognize that sign, you know what to do about it. You know how to remedy yourself. So you become, it's like, you know, it's like some people have to go to the doctor to get that remedy. But if you know how to do it yourself, then you can, you know, you can say self-medicate. Another thing too, sisters, about knowledge is that, subhanAllah, how many sisters, you know, they complain to me, for example, they feel their life is empty. They feel bored in their life. You know, subhanAllah, they feel, yani, they feel like, I don't know, they feel bored, they feel like nothing, yani, they feel upset, they feel depressed. And they don't realize that if you were to dedicate yourself to knowledge, if you were to seek knowledge, like, fill your time with knowledge, instead of sitting there thinking about your problems and feeling sad because, you know, your husband doesn't spend enough time with you, for example, or something like that. You know, use that time, you know, see it as a ni'mah, alhamdulillah, my husband doesn't want to spend much time with me, alhamdulillah, that's great. You know why? Because now, I've got time to study the deen. You know, use that. You know, use your thing. You know, use what Allah gives you to your advantage always. Right? So fill your time. You know, fill your time. Don't be bored. You know, fill your time. Like, have one day for learning the Quran. Have another day for, like, going to Shia classes. Like, use your time and fill your days and nights with seeking knowledge, inshallah. And you will find your life, how your life will become, inshallah, filled with nur, filled with light, and filled with huda, filled with guidance. And you feel happy all the time. SubhanAllah, Allah gives you a happiness that other people don't experience if they're not on that path. And, okay, so this is another next point that I want to mention too, which is important as well. And that is, always be concerned about the level of your iman. Always, no matter how, like I said before, like no matter how much knowledge you get, no matter how far you've come on that path, but you have to always be concerned of your iman. Like, always asking yourself the question, like, have I improved from last year? Ask yourself, have I improved from last year? Am I getting better? Am I better than I was 10 years ago? Or am I going backwards? We need to ask ourselves the question. If we find ourselves going backwards, pull yourself up and get back to how you used to be. Don't let yourself slide. Because that's how shaitan works. He doesn't take you straight away. He takes you in the khutawat. He takes you in the steps, slowly, slowly, so you don't realize that you're drifting backwards. So that's why it's important for you to always be aware of yourself, you know, self-awareness. Always checking yourself to see, am I still maintaining my iman? Do I need to do something to strengthen my iman more? Okay, then we come to some daily habits that if we want to be steadfast, we really have to stay stuck with these habits. They have to be part of our life always and a priority. Of course, after the prayers, which I already mentioned. The next, you know, from the other things, like, is for example, like, number one, the Qur'an. Okay, the Qur'an has to be an integral part of our life. It can't be something we just read in Ramadan, or we read once a week. Even reading Surah Al-Kahf once a week, that's not enough, sisters. Okay, so if you truly want to be, you know, if you truly want to find yourself firm upon the path of Allah, then you have to be upon with the Quran always. And remember that what is the Quran ultimately? It's Kalam Allah. It's Kalam Allah. It is the speech of Allah. So how can someone claim to be close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala if they're away from Kalam Allah? Okay, Allah Ta'ala says, "Inna hada al-Qur'an yahdi lillati hiya ahsan." So this Quran, it guides to that which is straight. So the Quran is, it's also called al-Furqan. It's called the criterion. It's what helps a person distinguish between the truth, the haqq, and the batil. That's why you have to be always with the Quran, memorizing the Quran. Don't just stay at reading the Quran. Memorize the Quran, even just one ayah every day, or one ayah every few days, and you're revising. But always be in that pattern and routine of revising and memorizing the Quran, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala. Because the Quran as well, what it does, when you fill your heart with the Quran, it's very hard for the shaitan to come to the heart that's filled with the Quran. And the Quran also is a shifa. It's a cure for, you know, subhanAllah, the diseases of the heart. If you're suffering from doubts, you open up the Quran, you start to recite, and subhanAllah, you find those doubts, they get taken out of your heart. If you have weak iman, you start reading the Quran, subhanAllah, you don't read the Quran except that you, when you finish reading it, you feel your iman is straight away elevated, subhanAllah. Besides that, as you know, adhkar, like, you know, they always recommend making the morning and evening supplications and being firm upon the adhkar, especially when we're not praying. You know, when you're not praying especially, that's when you should be always memorizing and revising the Quran and being stuck to your adhkar, because you know that when you're not praying again, your iman is likely to go down. Besides that, this is a very important thing that I've always found is very essential for anyone, is always choose the good friends. Always be around those people who motivate you, that they have the same aims in life as you. You know, they want Allah and the Akhirah. That's what they're striving for. Be around those people because, you know, it's like you work together. You feed off each other's energy, you could say. You understand? You know, if you're feeling a bit down but the other person's motivated, it keeps you up. So it's very important to stay with those people who are motivating you. Look for the ones who have, you know, good character, inshallah, and stay away from major sins. So this is what we should look at. And, you know, Ibn Qayyim, rahimahullah, he says that, you know, subhanAllah, friends are three. You know, he said there's three types of friends. The first type are those who you can't do without. Like they're like food. You can't do without them. And the second type are like a medicine. You take them from time to time. And you only need them from time to time. And the third type, they are harmful, so you don't need them at all. So, you know, if we're going to compare this, for example, the friends that are like food, I would say the friends that are like food in this day and age is your lessons. Stay stuck to lessons. I can't imagine how anyone stays strong in their iman and they don't stick to lessons. They don't come to lessons and keep themselves always with the lessons. If you don't keep yourself with the lessons, I can't see how anyone can stay in a strong state of iman. I really can't. So lessons are like your food. Just like you can't do without your food, you can't do without your lessons and good company. And then, you know, the one from time to time, we socialize from time to time. Not every day socializing, because every day socializing, it doesn't make your iman feel strong. You know, you actually feel weak after a while of too much talking and socializing. So have your friends, but it's from time to time, not every day. And then there are some people who just all they do is encourage you backwards, and they don't help you at all. They, every time you try to do something good and try to get closer to Allah, they just try to pull you down. They are the ones which we don't need in our life, subhanAllah. And I just want to mention here two very important points, sisters, as well, to stick with the community. Stick with the jama'ah. Even if you go through trials, sisters, with the community, if you have suffered from a fitna, you know, maybe some people in the community talked about you, but it is never recommended to leave the jama'ah. And in fact, the Messenger of Allah told us that, you know, the one who leaves the jama'ah, that the wolf devours the stray sheep. And who is the wolf? The shaitan. And I have seen that for my own self, sisters, as well, in my time, where I saw sisters, subhanAllah, who unfortunately became so negative with everything that they left and thought it's better for them to stay away. But unfortunately, we saw them many years later, sad to say, that they had completely drifted away from Islam. So it's not recommended at all to go off and leave the community, no matter what negative, you know, experiences you may have. And not everyone is the community. You can always find good people in the community. The whole community is not corrupted. So even if there are some corrupted, may Allah protect us and guide them, not everyone is corrupt. So don't blame the whole community because of actions of some. That's what I could say to you, a very important point. And then the other thing, this is a very important point, I cannot leave without saying this point as well, subhanAllah, is do not make the religion too hard for yourself. This is another mistake I saw people do. They made religion so hard for themselves. They became so judgmental, looking at everyone. You know, like no one was good enough. No sheikh was good enough. No masjid was good enough. No Muslim was good enough. But what happens when you go down that path, when you make the deen so hard for yourself, like everything became haram. You know, going to school is haram. Everything's haram. Everything. So when it all becomes haram, sisters, that's when the deen is going to overtake you. You're going to end up nowhere like that. Like the Messenger of Allah told us that in the deen, yusr. I'm not saying we take it easy and do nothing. Like, how do we know what is the moderate path? The path the Messenger of Allah was upon, right? But if you start to make it hard for yourself, the religion is easy, right? The Messenger of Allah said that the religion is easy. وَلَا يُشَدَّ الدِّينِ أَحَدٌ إِلَّا غُلَبَةٌ. Like no one goes to extremes in religion except it's going to overtake them. And this is exactly what happens. You find those ones who are so judgmental, looking at everyone, why don't they do that? And why don't they do that? Unfortunately, sad to say, in the end, they ended up far, 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 far worse off than those people that they were judging. So that's a very important point that I want to say. And so what we should do, sisters, you know, as I said, just stick to your goal and be consistent, like the Messenger of Allah told us. Try to strive for perfection. You try your best to fulfill everything that Allah and His Messenger has commanded us. And, you know, and be positive about it. Like seek, you know, receive the good tidings that inshallah you will be rewarded for your intentions, inshallah. So set those goals. And, you know, keep working slowly towards your goals in a moderate pace, bi-idhnillah. Lastly, do not despair. Like, no matter how great your sins get, this is a very important point too. No matter how great your sins get, even if you feel like you're a failure, even if you get to a point where you just feel like you're failing, and that, you know, you've just done so many sins, you've just gone so backwards, for example, remember always that Allah Ta'ala, you know, His mercy is so wide and His mercy is always so near. And I always remember this ayah which I love so much, where Allah Ta'ala says, قُلْ يَا عِبَادِيَ الَّذِينَ أَسْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ لَا تَقْنَطُوا مِن رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ. Say to my servants who have oppressed and wronged themselves, لَا تَقْنَطُوا مِن رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ. Do not despair of the rahmah of Allah. Do not despair of the mercy of Allah. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ جَمِيعًا إِنَّهُ هُوَ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. That Allah forgives all sins. As long as we're still alive, there is no sin which is too big for Allah to forgive. And there's no sins which are too many for Allah to forgive. So remember, it's just a matter of us reaching out to Allah and asking Him forgiveness and turning back to Him with sincerity, inshallah. Okay, so in finishing up, sisters, I want to say that we don't know what the future holds for us. Okay, we don't know what the future holds for us. We don't know what trials lay ahead of us in practicing Islam. You know, at the moment, what we can say is it's pretty popular to practice Islam. Like, it's actually trendy to practice Islam right now. It is. It's trendy. It's popular. In generally, it's relatively easy to practice your religion. Most people feel proud to be Muslim, alhamdulillah. But we don't guarantee that time doesn't come where that situation changes, where things become hard and difficult and trials start to befall, you know, the believers. So that's when you're going to see who are the sincere ones who stay stuck to that path despite it not being a popular path. That's when you see who are the true ones. As Allah says, وَلَيَعْلَمَنَّ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ صَدَقُوا وَلَيَعْلَمَنَّ الْكَادِبِينَ. And subhanAllah, the level of fitna and difficulty is going to become great eventually, whether it happens in our lifetime or it happens after that. But the Messenger of Allah told us, for example, that, you know, the fitna will get to a point where, for example, a person will walk past the grave of one of his friends and he will lie down in that grave and wish that he was in the place of his friend because of the amount of fitna and tribulations coming down upon him. And yet, another narration as well, as you know, there's the other narration that mentions how a person would wake up as a Muslim and go to bed as a disbeliever. And they would go to bed as a Muslim and wake up as a disbeliever. So we know that there will be times where Allah protect us, that Allah could send such trials and tribulations upon our ummah. And we feel, you know, what's happening these days, the changes that's been made, Allahu alam how far that's going to go. But we should also keep it in our minds that it is possible. It is a possibility that the time could come where it becomes very difficult for us to practice. And like I said, that's when you're going to see who are the true sincere ones. May Allah help us to be those ones, inshallah. But the most important thing is, sisters, that just like that hot coal, like the Messenger of Allah told us that a time will come where holding on to religion is like holding a hot coal. So you might get hurt from holding on to your Islam. You might get hurt, you might just suffer for holding on to your Islam. But at the same time, you know you cannot let go of that coal. You cannot let go of your Islam, because you can never trade this dunya for the akhirah. Nothing is worth losing your akhirah. So this is what you have to always keep in your mind, that nothing, no matter what, is worth losing your akhirah. And always remember that Allah inna nasrullahi qareeb, that verily Allah's nasr is always near, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala. So no matter how dark it gets, sisters, never let us lose sight of our goal, because like I said, nothing is worth losing your akhirah. And we have to realize that before we know it, the reality is that before we know it, dear sisters, we will be leaving this life. Before we know it, all of us, it's been destined that all of us are going to die. Sooner or later, death is going to come to each and every one of us. May Allah make that time easy for all of us. But subhanAllah, sisters, just to put ourselves in that state, to remember how is that feeling? Like, yes, the trials of this life are difficult, but the trials of death are also very difficult too. The trials of death are also very difficult. You feel scared. You're going to a place you've never been to before. Yani, it's the unknown. You don't know what's in store for you. So you feel scared. You feel alone. And you feel, because no one can understand what the dying person feels. No one can understand what the dying person feels. In the same time, you feel sad. Because maybe you're leaving behind your children. Maybe you're leaving behind your husband. Maybe you're leaving behind your mother or your father. So you feel sad too. But subhanAllah, what we have to realize is what Allah told us and what the Messenger of Allah told us, that whoever stayed on istiqamah, whoever stayed stuck to the path of Allah, whoever, you know, kept themselves patient upon this path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he told us that at the time of their death, for the one who remained patient and steadfast upon the path of Allah, that angels, subhanAllah, that Allah sends angels to that person at the time of their death. And those angels, subhanAllah, they have, you know, the most beautiful, bright and white faces, subhanAllah. Their faces are so bright, they're like the sun. That's how bright are their faces. And, you know, if you're lying down, for example, you can see them off in the distance. As far as the horizon, you can see them off in the distance, subhanAllah. And then what happens is, so you start to see that, and that's part of the way that Allah is comforting you. Just like you remembered Allah in your times when you had health and ease, Allah remembers you in your time of hardship. And so He sends those angels to you, subhanAllah, and you can see them. And then at the moment, you know, and then subhanAllah, as much as you feel scared, and as much as you feel afraid, but Allah Ta'ala, He tells us that those angels, they say to you, أَلَّا تَخَافُوا وَلَا تَحْزَنُوا. Do not be afraid and do not be sad. وَأَبَشِرُوا بِالْجَنَّةِ الَّتِي كُنْتُمْ تُعَدُونَ. And receive the good news of the Jannah which you have been promised. And subhanAllah, sisters, from the amazing thing about the believer, as much as you might have felt afraid, as much as you might have felt sad, but subhanAllah, when you hear those words of the Malaika, all you want to do, all your soul wants to do, is subhanAllah, leave your body and go back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Go back to Allah, that's all your soul wants to do. And that's why the Messenger of Allah described it, that the soul coming out of the believer at the time of death is like the drop of water coming down from a cup. That's how easy it is for the Malik al-Maut to take the soul out of the believer. It comes out like the drop coming out of a cup, because all your soul wants to do is go back to Allah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us from amongst them. So subhanAllah, this is what Allah Ta'ala has described in Surah Fusilat, which I'll leave you with, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala. And then if you want to ask me any questions, inshallah, Allah Ta'ala, He says,
إِنَّ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا رَبُّنَا اللَّهُ ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُوا إِنَّ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا رَبُّنَا اللَّهُ ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُوا تَتَنَزَّلُ عَلَيْهِمُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ أَلَّا ألا تخافوا ولا تحزنوا وأبشروا بالجنة التي كنتم توعدون نحن أولياؤكم في الحياة الدنيا وفي الآخرة ولكم فيها ما تشتهي أنفسكم ولكم فيها ما تدعون نزلا من غفور رحيم.
So Allah Ta'ala, he tells in these verses, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا رَبُّنَ اللَّهِ. Those who said, رَبُّنَ اللَّهِ. May Allah make us all from amongst them who said, لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ مُحَمَّدُ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ. ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُوا. And then they stayed steadfast. تَتَنَزَّلُ عَلَيْهِمُ الْمَلَائِكَةِ. That the malaika come down to them at the time of their death. And they say, أَلَّا تَخَافُوا. Do not be afraid. وَلَا تَحْزَنُوا. Do not be sad. وَأَبَشِّرُوا بِالْجَنَّةِ الَّتِي كُنْتُمْ تُعَدُونَ. And receive the good tidings and the glad tidings of a Jannah that you have been promised for all the suffering and striving that you went through in this life. نَحْنُ أَوْلِيَاءُكُمْ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا. Verily, those angels say to you, verily those that we were your, from your awliya, we were with you in the dunya, helping you to, you know, encouraging you towards good, doing good deeds. وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ, that they will also be there to comfort you and give you that, you know, istiqama at the time of your death, to give you that, you know, tranquility and steadfastness at the time of death, that you're able to say, inshallah, bi'idhnillah, with ease, لا إله إلا الله, at the time of your death. May Allah not deprive any of us, dear sisters, from, subhanAllah, you know, may He not deprive us, subhanAllah, from saying La ilaha illallah at the time of our death, and may He not deprive us, inshallah, from meeting with Him in a state of al-Islam. Ya maqalib qulub, thabbit qulubana ala dinik. ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب. May Allah keep us firm upon the straight path and try to always say this dua also in your sajda. يا مقلب قلوب ثبت قلبي على دينك إن شاء الله وقولوا قولي هذا واستغفر الله لي ولكم وسبحانك اللهم وبحمدك نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونتوب إليك.